Okay. All right.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Sorry if you heard that. Clear my throat, right? All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Follow me right here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. I'm all over the place. LinkedIn, you name it, Google, I am there. Make sure you follow me. Follow this show. This is a great, good show, a great show. And my guest today will be, let me see, Yvette W. Jones. All right. She is a native of Virginia, which is probably, I believe, is going to wind up being one of the Super Tuesday states. But anyway, she's going to be talking about her book, My Second Wind. That's the title, My Second Wind. It should be interesting. So stay tuned for that. But for now, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the weather. I mean, it is really cold. I mean, you talk about winter. I don't know what the hell they be talking about when they say the groundhog didn't see his shadow. The groundhog did see his shadow. All I know, it's cold as hell, and that superstition of the groundhog determining what kind of winter is going to be, whether cold or mild, is BS. Okay? That's totally BS. It's freezing out here. We are freezing our asses off in Chicago. But you know what? The young girls, I mean, they come out looking good. I mean, they're freezing their asses off, but they're looking good. You know, wearing those tight black leggings. I don't understand it. You know, you're 20 below zero, you coming out wearing black tight leggings and then acting as if you're not cold and your face is red, puffy, and ashy. You know, I mean, I wear combat pants and I get cold. And I know damn well they get cold wearing those damn leggings. But anyway, let's move right along. This is it's cold outside, folks. It's just cold outside. It's ridiculously cold. And it's Black History Month. And I got some Martin Luther King I want to play later, signifying Black History Month. You got some knuckleheads out there saying that Black History Month should not be. Okay, let me try to get this straight. It should be a Black History Month. A bunch of knuckleheads out there. I mean, people say anything to get in the news. They'll say anything whatsoever to get attention. And you know what? We give them attention when they say dumb and stupid things. I guess because it's just so bizarre that someone would say, get rid of Black History Month. You know, I mean, I don't think that's... I think that's a non-starter, actually. But it is cold. It is cold. This February 10th, Black 16. It is very, very cold. So if you're podcasting or downloading this show later, you know, so you'll know that this is a dated show. It will be a dated show along with some of the other past shows. But they're all good shows. So download them, listen to them, tell your friends, tell your family, tell everybody, tell you. People on Facebook, friends on Facebook, to listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show, no matter if it's podcast, recorded, downloaded, if it's the shows from 16 shows, 17, 80 shows back, you know, previous shows, listen to those shows. They're great. They're all great. All right, 347-857-1762 is the number to the show if you want to call in and just comment on something that you've heard or something, you know, whatever you want to do. If you want to sit back and just take it all in and listen to the George Wilder Jr. Show and his guest, that is all right with me. Okay. All right. Let's move right along. We've talked about the weather, and some people are still talking about Cam Newton. The guy who lost they lost in the Super Bowl, the Carolina Panthers quarterback. He's young. Like I said before in the previous shows, the guy's young. I mean, when you're young, you're going to do stupid things. And being young caused him to not know what it's like to be a winner. I think he was – I don't – he acted like a sore loser. But if you think about it, the guy, the young guy, is actually a winner. Even though he didn't get the Super Bowl crown, it went to Peyton Manning. But the Panthers, the record was 17-1. I mean, that's a winning record. They went all the way to the Super Bowl. That's a winning record. You may have not won the Super Bowl, the crown, but you got there. You brought your team there. You're a great quarterback. Maybe one day he'll realize that. And he'll look back and say, boy, was I stupid for acting like a sore loser on national television. You know, that'll happen. That will happen, folks. And, so the Iowa caucuses are over. The New Hampshire voting is over. The next stop for the candidates is South Carolina. It's South Carolina. And I believe Bernie is going to win that. Okay. As of tonight, the next stop is South Carolina. Yeah, all of these states are on the East Coast. So, you know, they're going to get to Illinois. But my thing is, make sure you get out there and vote. Vote, 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 vote. I mean, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, these guys beat the hell out of their opponents. Bernie Sanders landslided Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders landslided Hillary Clinton. Donald Trump, no matter what you think about him, no matter what you say about him, he's a buffoon, a bully, and a racist. The guy is a winner. What can I say? He's a winner. And we all, everybody likes winners. Everybody likes somebody who they can look up to. You know, we like winners. Period. Even though I would never, ever vote for Donald Trump. I don't think he's presidential material, actually. But he's a winner. He's a winner. And he is, and if you think about it, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, these guys are outsiders. They are not the establishment like Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, Marco Rubio, John Kasich, Carly Fiorina. They are not the establishment. What I mean is they are not being bought and paid for. They are using their own money. They don't need lobbyist money like the other candidates do. And when you're taking lobbyist money, you're taking Wall Street money, frankly, you've bought and paid for. You will not be, if you should get elected, you will not be representing the people who voted your ass in. You'll be representing special interests, the lobbies, the corporations, the lobbyists, the corporations, Wall Street. They will not adhere to you or me. They will be adhering to people who are lining their pockets. And this is what makes Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump different. They do not have to take money. So therefore, they can say what they want, when they want, how much do they want, without being vilified by someone, some corporation, who's because they are paying for their own campaign. Donald Trump is a billionaire. Bernie Sanders is getting his money, and it's coming in fast and quick, grassroots, everyday working people like you and me, sending him $10 here, $20 there, $34, $100, maybe $1,000. His money is coming from the voters. The voters. Just like Obama in 2008, we sent Obama money. You know, so that is where, but Obama was always Wall Street. He was always corporate, and he always will be. But we didn't know that at the time, so we had to find that out when he got into office. All right, Obama was in Chicago today. I'm going to talk about that a little later. But anyway, they're winners. And I think
Bernie Sanders, he has so much momentum going into Carolina after New Hampshire. I think this guy is going to bowl Hillary Clinton over once again. From my standpoint, I think he also won Iowa. He came so close. He came a hair away from beating Hillary in Iowa. And when you think about Iowa, you think about how far he was down, how far he was behind in the polls against Hillary Clinton, and how he just came on up to actually virtually tie with her in Iowa. So my thing is, Hillary lost both states. She lost Iowa and she lost New Hampshire to Bernie Sanders. And I don't understand why the Hillary crowd and her supporters, before the vote in New Hampshire, they were bashing women. They were saying women will have a place in hell because they were not supporting Hillary Clinton. They were supporting Bernie Sanders. That was wrong. And I do think another thing that burned Hillary, I think, was sending her husband out there, her surrogates, her husband and her daughter out there. I think a lot of women didn't like that. And I do believe that some people were saying Hillary, she's not trustworthy. And a lot of women saw that. Most of the people who voted for Hillary, New Hampshire, from my understanding, they say was 65 and older, because all the young people and the women gravitated towards Bernie Sanders, which is good, which is great. And I want to congratulate Bernie Sanders on his huge landslide victory over Hillary Clinton. And now what I'm hearing is that Clinton is going to try and shake up her campaign. She can shape up her campaign by getting her husband Bill Clinton off the trail. I think Bill Clinton, like so many other talk show hosts, they're saying the same thing I'm saying, or I'm saying the same thing that they are saying, that Bill Clinton doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have it anymore. What he had 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, he doesn't have that pull that he used to have on voters, getting voters to do and say and agree with everything that he's talking about. Bill Clinton could have hurt Hillary in this giant loss. But a lot of young people are saying that Hillary, she's not trustworthy. You can't believe her. And I can understand that, because I've been listening to Hillary and I have been hearing her contradictions. There is something there. When she's on her rallies, if you have watched any of her rallies or videos, the latest ones, seemed like she was always shouting and yelling at the crowd, yelling at the TV audience. A lot of this just did not play with the public in New Hampshire, and she lost big time. We could have President Bernie Sanders in office in 2016. Lord forbid a Donald Trump. Please. You know, Donald Trump is, if you think about it, Donald Trump's got the Muslims afraid. He's got the Mexicans afraid, because he told them that they're going to be packing up and leaving America. Yeah, they're scared. They're shaking in their boots, you know. And, I don't know. A lot of the things that Donald Trump says, he's going to need a magic wand to do some of those things, because he has to work with a Congress. And whether Donald Trump is working with a Republican Congress or a Democratic Congress, a lot of those guys and girls are not going to like him. They are not going to like him. They're not going to give him everything that he wants. He has to realize that there are three branches of government, and every branch of government, they have equal power. You say no way? You don't think the three branches of government, huh? The game, what game? Huh? CTA, GTA. Okay, folks, I'm talking to my son. I think he disagreed with me on something, and he's trying to get out of it. But anyway, there's three branches of government, and a lot of the politicians, they fail to realize that. You just can't up and say what – even Bernie Sanders, you just can't up and say you're going to make all college free. You can't up and say you're going to have single payer. I mean, you're going to have legislation on that. You can't even write that in on an executive order. So I've said this many times. You know, if we're going to have a Democratic president, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, we have to give them people to work with. They cannot work with if Hillary becomes president of the United States, she cannot work with a Republican Congress. If Bernie Sanders becomes president of the United States, he cannot work with a Republican Congress. It's going to be gridlock. Nothing's going to get done. It's going to be obstruction. It's going to be hate. So how the Republicans are, a bunch of racist old men with no hearts. You see how they have obstructed Obama over the years. And Obama has stated so many times he wished he had brought people together, but he just couldn't do it. I'm surprised he couldn't do it either. I thought he could do it either. It's just something in his DNA and just so much hatred going on around in the world that probably prevented him from doing a lot of that. All right, you're listening to the George Waters Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with me. I will be right back. Thank you for being here. All right, we got it? Okay, we don't hear anything. All right, you're listening to the George Waters Jr. Show. Blog Talk Radio. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I have Facebook notifications popping up on my computer screen. That's nice. I guess that's one way of keeping up with who is posting on your Facebook page. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, as long as it doesn't interrupt or interfere with this broadcast. Okay, Chris Christie and Carly Fiorina has dropped out of the presidential race. Wow. So on the Republican side of the aisle, it's getting smaller. Fiorina, I mean, a lot of us are glad to see her drop out. I mean, the only thing she's ever done from my estimation is bash Hillary Clinton. You know, bash and lie on Hillary Clinton, bash and lie Planned Parenthood with her plastic face. I mean, this woman has so much Botox and plastic surgery, her face is falling apart. But not to, you know, talk about her or anything, but she was an awful person. I mean, she was just awful. She was just another wing nut on the Republican side of the aisle. Chris Christie was a blowhard. He's on his way back to New Jersey. He gave it all he could. And in the last debate, he wasn't that bad, but he did not talk about the issues. I mean, he was just jabbing on Marco Rubio. And, you know, there now the Republican, there are two. It should make it interesting in the next debate. Okay. And on the Democratic side, I'm just hoping Bernie just go all the way. Like I said before, and I've said this in other shows, if Hillary Clinton gets the nomination, we should all get behind Hillary Clinton. But with her big loss, that landslide loss, Bernie Sanders could be the next nominee. But, however, no matter what, we have to put a Democrat in office November 2016. We have to. January 17th, they're going to be taking the oath of office. We just have to. I mean, because if we let a Republican get in there, we're done. We're screwed. You're talking about working people. You're talking about poor people. You're talking about people who are struggling. Everybody's going to have to go read my book, Jesus Christ, the Son of Man Returns. That brings to mind, I want to thank the people who have made one of my short stories on Amazon.com number one. One of my short stories on Amazon.com, you have made it number one. I'm even surprised. But thank everybody who's downloaded the book, who's purchased a short story, downloaded it, purchased it, told other people about it, posted it, marketed for me, gotten the word out about it, the short story. Thank everybody from the bottom of my heart. You've made that short story, Mary, Rest in Peace, Caught Reading. Okay, it's Mary, Rest in Peace, Caught Reading. That's the title, and there is a subtitle, Caught Reading. You've made it number one on my website. And thank you very much. It was in the doldrums, but you guys brought it up there. I mean, it's on top now, a bestseller. So I want to thank everybody for the ones who've bought the book, purchased the book, downloaded the book, read the book, liked the book. I've gotten some feedback from the story, and people are saying, but you go check it out for yourself. People are giving it good marks. They're giving it 4 and 5 stars, 4.5, 5 stars. I don't know why anybody would give me 4.5 stars. I prefer 5. But anyway, but reviews, on the other hand, reviews are so hard to get. I have a clip here I want to play about reviews. Reviews are really, really nail-biting to try and get, especially good reviews, honest reviews, and never pay for a book review. Again, I want to thank everybody for making my book on Amazon.com number one, making it a bestseller. It's a short story, but it's a powerful short story, and I'm glad that you like it because writing is hard. But, you know, it's hard, but it's therapeutic. I've had so many guests on the show to say the same thing. It's therapeutic. So thanks for making the book number one. And if you haven't read the book, go on Amazon, put my name in that little text bar up there, George Wilder Jr., click on it, and you will see the first thing that's going to pop up is Mary, Rest in Peace, Caught Reading. Short story, but it's powerful, and it will blow you away. That's why people have made it number one, and thank you from my heart. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are waiting for author Yvette W. Jones. All right, we will be right back, folks. Stay with George. Stay with me. All righty. These clips. Clips. Oh. We'll be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Right, this is Black History Month. This is February. This is Black History Month, and I always try to have a little something to play on Black History Month. And what I like to do right now, folks, what I like to do right now is play a small clip of Martin Luther King's last speech. It's short and sweet, okay? But for Black History Month, I want to kind of this show to be a little bit on board with that. It's a 2-minute clip, so stick around for that. I'm going to cue that up right now. It's his last speech before he was assassinated. And if you listen to it, it almost seems like he's knowing what to expect. Okay, here we go. On the George Wilder Jr. Show.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. So just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
All right, that was Martin Luther King. That was one of his last speeches that he gave, I understand, before he died. All right, caller, are you on the line?
Good afternoon, I'm here.
Yvette W. Jones?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Good afternoon.
All right. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is Yvette W. Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and she will be talking about her book, A Second Wind. You know, I've been reading some of your biography, and it's chilling. Can you tell us something about it, a little bit more?
You want me to go into the book, Mr. Wilder, or are we talking about just the overall background? Where do you want me to start at?
I mean, tell people about yourself.
Okay, well,
You say you're a native from Virginia.
I am a native from Virginia. And I grew up in a small town in Virginia. In my bio, basically, I had my childhood
yes.
was just about like anybody else's. We had fun growing up. You know, my mother, my father, it was my mother, my stepfather, and my sister. We all grew up in the same household. And I went to the public schools, and then I went off to college. And, you know, a lot of things began to change during my adolescent years. And as I look back and in writing the book, you know, I started to identify some things that were going on in my life that led me down, you know, the prison journey. But I am just so thankful today that I'm here, and I have received and I have accepted my second wind. So it's amazing. I will say that.
First book?
I think, Mr. Wilder, I think that we have a bad, because I can hear you, but it's real choppy. You said, is this my first book? It is, definitely. This is the first book that I have written, my second wind. It took years, I guess you could say procrastination, it took years of procrastination before I got to the point to actually be able to open up and write this book. So this is my first book. Hello. Hello. Hello? Hello? Hello, Mr. Wilder? Hello? Hello? Hello, Mr. Wilder? Hello, Mr. Wilder? Hello, Mr. Wilder. This is Yvette W. Jones. Hello, good afternoon. This is Yvette W. Jones. Hello?
Hello, good
Hello? Hello? It seems like we may be having some technical difficulties tonight, but this is
Yeah. It happens. Anytime you on internet radio, it's always something happening. It could be construction next door, or it could be a storm something. You know what I'm saying? Or something. But I'm sorry about that.
Oh no, you're.
Things happen. What
you're
can I say?
Fine. You're absolutely fine. Yeah. Well, it's nice to meet you. I'm happy to be on your show, Mr. Wilder. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and share on your platform this evening. So I am so excited about that.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. You know, I really am because I was looking forward to it. And I'm saying because I was reading your bio and I was reading everything, and especially when we connected on Gmail. And it was astonishing. I'm looking at something right here. You said, I have struggled with obesity since childhood as a toddler. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed with Blount's disease, a growth disorder in the tibia, the shin bone, that causes the lower leg to angle inward. I mean, you can talk about that.
Right. Well, you said it. You said it very well. I was born with Blount's disease. I wore braces for 13 years, and in the struggle of childhood obesity and all of that, a lot of my childhood was limited. Not being able to do what other children would do, but I was still a regular child, and I guess that's the thing. I don't want to draw attention to some of the defects. I just wanted to show, I want to show the world how you can still win, even though you may be dealt with a wild card in life. So it doesn't matter what disabilities or what setbacks or what happens in your life, you can take that wild card and turn that card around. And that's exactly, you know, what I did throughout my life. It was not easy. The struggle was real. And the struggle even now, living life itself, we all go through challenges day in and day out. But I've in all of that, you know, Mr. Wilder, I've really grown to understand, you know, my purpose in life, to be able to do what I do, and just to be able to move forward in life, even though you're dealt that wild card, just how to turn it around and make it a winning hand. And that's just really what, you know, how I look at my life now.
Okay, now what I like about it is that you're taking your experience with this disease and you're trying to help other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And, you know, a lot of times, because even though that I stress that, I lived a normal life, and sometimes, you know, we don't even know. If no one brings it to your attention, you don't know that if there is a problem or if there's a limitation or what, you know, whatever it is. And I had to understand that because, you know, that's what my parents, they allowed me to live the most normal life that I could. There were things that were challenging, such as steps, the longer walks and different things like that, and, you know, being and having braces on for 13 years. But even in the midst of that, you know, I think I even in school, you know, I even with my classmates and all, it was never anything that they saw that was different. You know, I was just, you know, it wasn't like I was set apart in that sense. However, you know, when kids were playing, I was actually, you know, spending time with my grandmother and, you know, talking about God, talking about, you know, my life. And, you know, I guess she said I was born with an old soul. So I don't know if that time, that limitation during that time in my life allowed me to kind of like, you know, kind of foresee really, you know, what my life was going to be ahead. So I guess that's the only way I can put it. Even though there were limitations, I didn't know that there were those limitations to that effect until later in life. I'm like, wow, you know, I really did. I went in and out, you know, I had surgery on my legs and things like that. But all is well. All is well today. So I'm really happy about that.
Now, what is Blount's disease?
Bowel's disease is basically being bulbic.
Okay,
if you want to get to the prognosis of it,
okay,
you want to go
all right,
there.
I didn't know.
You have
bow legs down here. Yeah.
Huh?
I say you have bow legs down here. I mean, I'm reading. You have.
It says
unlike bow legs, which tend to straighten as the child develops, Blount disease is a progressive, and the condition. It's progressive and the condition worsens.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It can cause severe blowing of the legs and can affect one or both legs. Okay, that's something.
Both of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you're okay now. You're okay now.
I am good. I am good. I am good. Amazingly, very well. I mean You know, there's, you know, God, I'm just amazed. I'm good. I'm all good now. Mm-hmm. I've gone through so much more in life after that.
And like I said before, it's great that you want to share your story to try and help other people who may be going through some of the same things that you've gone through with this.
Mm-hmm.
Because growing up as a, you know, as a child, as a, you know, teenager, I've seen so many bow-legged people, and I never thought much of it. You know, I just said, hey, wow. And sometimes, you know, walking inward can look kind of cool. I mean, personally, I never thought much of it. I would see a bow-legged girl or a bow-legged guy, and I'd just say, hey, wow.
She's cute, huh?
Kind of, yeah. I like the way she walks. Look at that.
Oh my goodness! Absolutely, I like
for real.
That.
I mean, I never. But you're saying that it is a serious condition.
It is, and you know, I didn't grow up with my biological father. But I carried on those. That was a trait. Everybody on his side of the, on my paternal side of the family, they either had some type, they were all bow-legged. One of their legs were normally bow. He had like a brother that had a, you know, he had a very distinctive gaited walk. And it was noticed when I was about 4 years old, even about three and about 2 and 3 years old, I would crawl a lot. My parents would tell me. And even when I would stand up, by the time I was about 5 years old, it was almost like I was still, my legs were still on the ground. So that's how bow-legged that I was. And, yeah, it was really, really bad. And when my mom remarried my stepfather when I was 1 year old, when I got of age to have surgery, he said, we're going to, you know, try to give her a chance to be as normal as possible. And I think I'm so thankful for that. I thank God for that because I underwent surgery at 8 years old, and it was successful. It was the best that it could be. And then I was supposed to do another one at 13, but at 13 they said that it could stunt my growth. I'm still short, but we did not go that route because they're, you know, you, it's just different things. You know, sometimes people, you know, you arthritis, or they would tell you things that we're going to, you know, the aftercare, things that you would encounter throughout life. But other than that, bow legs are cute. I've been told that before.
Yeah, they are. as long as they, you know, as long as it's not too fair. But they are. It depends on if they're not too out there. But you have something else here. You said that you've struggled with obesity since childhood. Are you still struggling with it?
I am. To a point, childhood, it was real because of limitations and all. So, yeah, I am. But I am, it has gotten much better. It has gotten much better. I have a great health and wellness coach. And I am thankful for her. She has an amazing story herself. So it's always good to have someone who has a story and you can see their transformation.
Exactly.
And you know, God is good. And I had to understand, you know, it was basically, you know, the being more mobile, I guess you could say. But as far as the healthy eating part, I think I have that down, and I'm thankful for that. Every day it could be a struggle because my go-to, and we all have vices, whether it's reading or whatever we go to, my vice was McDonald's, and I think it's been about 2 years now, or it's been some time, 2 or 3 years, that I have, like, really indulged in McDonald's. Do I want it sometimes? Of course. We all have the residue of past, you know?
My vice was soda.
Oh, okay.
I think I got it from my mother, because every time my mother would sit down to eat, no matter what she was eating, she would not touch that plate until she had a soda sitting right there.
You know?
And I was the same way as I grew up. It was bad for me, and it told on me, and I had to let it go. You know, it was heartbreaking, but I had to let it go. You know,
isn't
so because it was putting weight on me, I was told that I could develop diabetes, or you know, so I had to let it go, and I had to let a lot of things. I had to let a lot of things go, you know, eating right and all that kind of. As you get older, you have to do those things.
Tell me about it.
You have to let some of that stuff go, even though
you're
ice cream.
Right. the good stuff, huh? But you know, and I'm learning now in life, though, Mr. Wilder, that you really have that stress. Even when you eat right, even when you exercise, even when you do those things, it's all about renewing your mind. And I guess that's really the stage that I am in my life right now, is really continuously meditating, renewing my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband keeps me grounded, and I'm so thankful for that. And I think that too has played a big part in my second wind. It's just having that spiritual groundness.
Okay, do you have the book? Do you have an excerpt that you can read to us?
Let me see.
Yeah, read a little bit of it.
Let's see here. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. One of the parts of here, sure. Let me get something here.
Take your time.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to Yvette W. Jones and her book, My Second Wind, on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Good. You know, I talk about when I was writing the book, Mr. Wilder, my husband was telling me, he said, you act like every, I talk a little bit about my prison experience, and this is a part that I wanted to just share, a quick little part here. He said, you act like everything was good in your book. He said, you act like that, you know, everything was great, prison was good, and I know something had to happen. And then I told him, I said, yeah, there was one day that I can talk about something that did happen there. And this is a little excerpt here that says, in prison, you have to choose your battles. And it was one of those days for me. There was something within me that just did not want to, that I didn't want to put up with. I didn't want to put up a fight. I threw in the towel and I could care less about what my peers thought. Of course, some of them were angry, yet they were not willing to take the hit for me. It was funny but true. When altercations occurred in prison, you could always seem to count your team on one hand. For some reason, I could see the victory belt around my waist with the referee holding up my hand that day. My reactions may have seemed delusional, but my vision was clearer than before. With steaming coffee all over me, I didn't retaliate. To be honest, I didn't want to. I didn't want to give up my chair. So I just sat there and waited for the pain to go away. And that was the day that I guess you could say that I realized that I lost a fight, but I also won.
Wow,
and
great.
That was my that was an altercation that I encountered in prison. And it was one of those days where, you know, you just have to let that pain, when it seeps in, you just have to let it sting. And that was just one of those days where I just had to let it burn. And I learned from that day because I was okay with the loser, and I was okay with knowing that I was also a winner.
You know what? It sounds like such a great book. I'm pretty sure people are going to be grabbing it off the shelves or downloading it on. Where can we find that book? I mean, where is it located? I mean, how can we get it?
You can go to YvetteWJones.com. And you can go on and order your book there, and it is also going to be Friday, will be released for Amazon. And you can go there, and you can get connected to the website, YvetteWJones.com, and on Amazon.com.
And it is in Kindle form.
It will be in Kindle form as well, absolutely.
Okay, great, great. Sounds like a great book. And you're now working on a second book.
I am working on this book.
this one.
I want to. Yeah, you're going. You're definitely going.
Okay,
up,
this
or
is
you,
my.
No, I have not arrived where you are yet, Mr. Wilder.
No. I'm a writer myself, and I guess I just used to asking those kinds of questions, you know.
Right.
And you know. And I always say writers are brothers and sisters in the word,
right?
And because I think we have to support each other in every
Absolutely.
Way we can, you know, because
I think
if no one supports us, we should support each other. You know, sometimes
You're
we can't even get
right.
support from sometimes we can't even get support from our own family members, but we can get support
You're
from
right.
other writers and other authors.
You're absolutely
and that's
right.
That's why I'm asking about your book, so people can go buy it, because people do download the show, they do archive it, and they may not listen. Some cannot listen at certain times. They can just listen to the show at their own convenience, you know, and that's great. That's good. This
absolutely.
Show will always be available for you to listen to. It'll be on Blog Talk Radio, and you also are a talk show host.
I am. I came out on Blog Talk in 2013, Mr. Wilder. Yes.
Well, you're older than I am, because I came out in 2014. I think that was the year that
I
came out. Yeah, so
awesome.
I'm just as new, you know. I mean, That's
right.
Great. So what I'm going
right.
to do once,
well,
once the show is...
Yes.
Yeah, what I'm going to do once the show is over, I'm going to go and follow you on your page.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Go. I'm
and
on
you
Twitter,
can follow
Yvette
me on
w.
this
Jones.
One.
I will.
Okay.
And I'll follow
okay.
you on Blog Talk as well. Definitely.
Yeah.
And actually, I've got a new
yeah.
page up this year because we are going with some new topics. So I don't
yes.
know. So I'm just hoping I did start a brand new Blog Talk post so I could use some followers. You may be the first one on that Blog Talk listed show for this year. So that's
yeah, I
good.
Can. I mean, hey, I don't mind coming on your show and talking about whatever
awesome.
There you want me to talk about. You know, so because I as writers and as authors, as radio show hosts, I still think we should stick together. We're all about
mm-hmm.
the same thing.
You're right. You're absolutely
you know, we're all about
right.
the same thing, and we're all about helping each other and all that kind of thing because we're mm-hmm. basically trying to get started.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And yes, sir.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there anything else you want to say that you haven't said already about your book and about your experiences?
Basically, I just want to, as always, to encourage people. What I do
mm-hmm.
after I came home, I went back to college, and I prepared
mm-hmm.
myself for my future, and that is to help people to overcome
mm-hmm.
whatever it is that they may be going through. So I am a Christian counselor. I do reach out. I do,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have freedom. I am founder of Freedom Chain Ministries. And I just
mm-hmm.
want to, my biggest thing, Mr. Wilder, is that I am sharing my story as a child, my story through
mm-hmm.
life, through school, through prison, and all the way through to my second wind and how I got it. And there are keys that I use to go to get my second wind. And I talk about the access code in this book. And I just encourage every listener and every reader to really chime in and turn the key to each one of those doors that I know to be true that will open the door to freedom for your life. So this is what I just encourage everybody to go out and get their second wind, and that's exactly what I wanted to do to help others. I didn't want it to be about
mm-hmm.
me. I wanted it to be about those who, too, are looking to get their second wind. And as you said, we know where we can get the book at on the website, and definitely
yes.
I'm on Twitter and on Facebook, and
mm-hmm.
I look forward to
so am I. I'm
to
on
getting
Facebook
to know
too.
You and connect with you. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Yvette W. Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Pick up her book, My Second Wind, on Amazon.com. It's all over the place. Hey, thanks for being on the show, and we will connect. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, that was Yvette Debbie Jones on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Thank you for podcasting. George Wilder will be right back. George Wilder Jr. will be right back. right. Once again, I want to thank my guests, my lovely guests, Yvette W. Jones and her book, talking about her book, My Second Wind on the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you heard that lively, lively conversation. I try not to have interviews. I try to have a conversation with the guests and make them feel comfortable. And don't forget to tell everybody about this show. You miss a show here, you will miss a lot. You will miss a lot. I mean, I try to put everything into the show. If I don't put everything in the show, 347-857-1762, the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. As you know, I reside in Chicago, the city of Chicago, and we still haven't a budget. I've got to say this. President Obama was in town today at the Illinois legislature giving a speech to those assholes who are holding this state hostage, to those assholes who will not sign a state budget into law to get this state back on track. I've said this before he was coming. I said he's not going to do anything. He's not going to make a difference. His speech is not going to make a difference. They can bow their heads in the affirmative, but his speech is not going to budge not one heart in that legislature because they are steadfast on not getting a budget for the state of Illinois. They are steadfast on that. There's nothing he can do. Obama is a lame duck. This is his last year in office. He will not be president anymore. And it is a different campaign here in Chicago. This is where he started in 2008. Since then, it's a real different kind of atmosphere in the legislature for him. He was a state senator, but it's a different kind of atmosphere now that he's president and just about out of office. The hate, the vile, the heartlessness prevails. Martin Luther King is probably turning over in his grave 100 times. It is just awful. This climate of hate and vile and violence. And violence in Chicago. I mean, it is out of this world. I'm surprised that he did not address the violence in Chicago, the shootings, the police department. He didn't address any of that. I don't know and there are people who are saying that Obama is the greatest president ever. I totally disagree with him. I wished he was the greatest president ever. I actually do. I want to say that. I voted for him to be that. But it's not that, people. It is not that. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I still want to compliment my guest on her interview, our little talk. It was great. It was informative. I hope you learned something. However, in Chicago, I want to say stop the killing. Stop hating on each other. Stop bitching with each other. Put the guns down. Beating up on your girlfriend or your wife. Stop the violence. I wished Obama could have said something like that when he was speaking to the legislature today in Chicago. I wished he could have said that today. Chicago and Springfield. I wished he could have said that in front of the General Assembly. But he didn't. All he had to do was say, young men, put the damn guns down. Bruce Rauner, Michael Madigan, stop the BS and get this state back on its footing. He didn't say any of those things. Obama is a statesman. He can't say those things. I don't know. It's not in his DNA to stop the fighting, to bring people together. It's how hard could it have been just for Obama to say while he was in Springfield to stop the killing, stop hating on each other, stop gunning each other down, stop beating up on your girlfriend, stop the elder abuse, stop the senior abuse, stop beating up on your parents, stop beating up your girlfriend, stop abusing your children. That would have gone a long way, put down the guns. That would have gone a long way if it came from Obama instead of from me or someone else. But it didn't happen. He can't say those things. He can't say them for some reason. And now, hey, he's on his way back to Washington. He couldn't bring these people together for a budget. It's not going to happen. They hate each other. They can't stand each other. Rauner wants to bust unions. He's fuming at the mouth to do that. School programs are being cut. Teachers are being laid off. Staff is being laid off. People are losing their jobs. Universities and colleges are going to have to close their doors or lay off staff, lay off teachers. And we got leaders in Springfield just sitting back playing with themselves and letting this happen, letting this state just fall off a damn cliff. I was saying the same thing 6 months ago as I'm saying right now, because we still do not have a budget. And these clowns that are elected, these politicians who are in office to govern, are not governing. Bruce Rauner is rich. Michael Madigan is rich. John Cullerton, they're rich. They are okay. They are off. I mean, they are okay. It's just the people that they're representing are not. The people that they're representing, they are the ones getting the shaft from these politicians. This is why they are letting this state go under, because it's not going to affect their pockets. They don't care. They'll talk like they care. They'll act as if they care. But the bottom line is they don't care, because if they did care, this state will not be in the eighth month or ninth month going into, well into 2016 without a budget deal. Rauner gave a state of the state in Illinois. He did not mention the budget. What he bitched about was he wanted to bust unions. If you want to save this state, then let me bust unions. People are being laid off. People are being hurt. High school programs are being hurt. After school programs are being cut. And these clowns, these politicians, sitting back and letting this happen. Because they are all right. They have their money. They are rich. That's why they are letting this happen. Anything Obama says is just going to be hot air. It's going to be hot air. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me all over the place. I am it. I am here. Like I said before, I have something I want to play on getting reviews for your book. A lot of writers, they write books, they publish them, and the first thing they want to do is get a review, a good review for the book. And sometimes getting a good review for your book can be really, really hard. I mean, it's like pulling your hair out if you have any hair. It's tough. You think writing a book is tough. Try getting 6 or 7 reviews for your book. It doesn't matter how good your book is. If no one knows your book is there, and no one knows that you want them to interview the book, review the book, it's not going to happen. People just don't give up reviews. I mean, I've had 10, 20 people download my book, and maybe more, and not one leave a review. If I want a review, I have to ask my friends, can you please, please leave a review? But you don't beg for a review, and you do not pay for a review. So let me see if I can find this clip. Okay, this is a short clip here. 7 ways to get more reviews. She sounds really sweet, and this clip would always be on this show because it's something that people, since I'm always interviewing authors, I think this clip is appropriate. Okay, let's see if it works.
Rafe, and this is 7 ways to get more reviews to your book. Now, as you know, the more reviews that you have on your books, the more sales you're going to make. Now, that's because...
Sometimes, not all the time.
First of all, you have more social proof. So you have more people that have gone through and they have said that they've liked your book, and so when other people are going and they're looking at books to purchase, they see other people that have spoke up and said, yes, this book is great. So there's less of a risk for them to go buy the book because they know lots of other people have liked it. So that's the first reason. Also, as you probably know, on Amazon.com, there's a function where you can search by reviews. So if someone, let's say you're writing a scrapbooking book and someone types in scrapbooking, they can sort by where the people with the highest, the best reviews, the most amount of them, come up highest on the search engines. And so if you can get more reviews that are positive, you'll come up higher and, again, get more sales. So no matter how you slice it, the more reviews you have, the better sales you're going to have. And so that's why this video is dedicated to helping you find different ways to get more reviews for your books. So let's get started. The first way to get more reviews sounds simple, but a lot of people don't do it, which is just to ask your colleagues, friends, or family who have bought your book to leave you a review. If they haven't purchased your book yet and you feel like it'll help them, then ask them to purchase the book too. But it's just taking a couple seconds to flick off an email to them and ask them to take 2 minutes of their time and leave you a review. And a lot of times your friends, family, colleagues, they'll be happy to do it, especially if they like the book because it's supporting you and they know how much it helps. I mean, everyone, it's common sense how much better a book will sell when you have more reviews. So you might be nervous or shy to ask or whatever, but just write the email and hit send. That's it. Just all you have to do is take 5 seconds of courage to hit send. And I know I've gotten emails from people asking for reviews, and it's no problem. You know, just go through. If I bought the book, I'll leave a review. So yeah, I do that all the time with my friends. So that's the first tip. Second tip. Ask in your book. A lot of people don't do this, but I like to have a script at the end of each of my books where I just say, you know, hey, you've gotten to the end of this book, so you must like it. I appreciate you reading this far. And, you know, as a self-published author, it's often really tough to market my book the way that the big publishing houses can. And so if you can take a few minutes to just, like, less than 5 minutes to leave me a review, I'd really appreciate it. I give a link to the book. And it would really help me out a lot. And I know, you know, since you're here at the end, that you've liked it. So thank you again for going through and getting so much out of this. And that's it. And then people are often much easier to leave the review then because you've reminded them. They're all the way at the end of the book. They've clearly liked the content. It's 5 minutes out of their day or less to write you the review, and it really helps you out a lot. They now have rapport with you. They like you because you've given them content that they got all the way to the end for. So this is just an easy way to pick up reviews without having to do anything but just put in the request at the end. The next tip is to have a free day on Amazon. So the picture here is KDP Select. Like when you go and enroll your book in kdp.amazon.com, there's going to be this section where you can enroll your book in KDP Select, where you basically give Amazon access to your book for 90 days where you don't publish it anywhere else digitally. But in return, you have 5 free days where you can have your book on Amazon and people can download your book for free. Now, this is really cool because it's a lot easier to get people to download a book for free than it is to get them to purchase the book. So you start to get a whole bunch more leverage and a whole bunch more downloaders than you normally would, and you always have more people that end up leaving reviews. Your odds are just greater. So that's that. You can also write for your free day in the book. You know, I know you got this book for free. It was my way of wanting to give back. If you could do me a favor by leaving me a review, if you like this, I'd really appreciate it. So that's the third way. Your fourth tip is to do a Goodreads giveaway. Now, if you're not familiar with Goodreads yet, it's a social network for readers. There's over 12 million different readers on there, and they just love to read and talk about the books they're reading. And Goodreads has a function where you can give away copies of your book. It has to be physical copies of your book. And you would just run the giveaway just saying, I'm doing this giveaway in hopes of getting reviews for my book. Obviously, they're not required, but it really helped me a lot to get the reviews. I want to start hearing what people think. So you do the book. You can give as many copies as you want. So it could be from 1 to 10 to whatever. I believe Goodreads recommends either 3 or 10. I think it's 10 that they recommend. And then you have a whole bunch of people that come and apply for your book to get your book. So the side note is, the side benefit of that is that you're getting a whole bunch of people to even hear about your book, and then you just give away the copies. So you can, to get physical copies of your book, just upload your book onto createspace.com, just order them the copies and then ship it to them, and the likelihood of people leaving you reviews after using Goodreads is very, very high. So if you want to hear more about Goodreads, I have a course at getmorebooksales.com that talks all about it. The next strategy is to search for top reviewers. So if you do the search string right here, top 1,000 reviewer, whatever niche you're in, email, and then just copy the rest of it, the email and the site. Basically, it's going to go and it's going to find the top 1,000 reviewers that are in your niche for Amazon. So these are people that are posting reviews for whatever niche you're in. They're respected by people as top reviewers. They have a little icon next to their name that says, like, Jane Doe, top reviewer. And if you can find these people and then just shoot them an email, that string should help you get all their email addresses, and just shoot them an email saying you respect them, they're obviously coming really high regarded, and you would love to work with them, give them a copy of your book, and just hopefully have them review it. You'd be honored. It's a really cool way to get high respected, high leverage people to review your book. And often they are much more likely to say yes than you would think. Next strategy is to ask on Shelfari.com. Now, Shelfari is a site that Amazon owns, and with that site, you can go through and just do a search for your book. And a lot of times you'll find, like, people can mark after they've read a book or it's on their want to read, they put it on their bookshelf. And so you can find all the people that have your book on their virtual bookshelves. Just say, hey, thank you very much for reading my book, being interested in it. And if you liked it, then I would really appreciate if you could take the time and leave a review. You know, as a self-published author, it can just be hard to get the marketing that these big publishing companies have, and I just really appreciate it. And people can then say yes for that, too. If they've taken the time to put your book on their bookshelf and they're in this community of readers that, and they like talking about what they read, and they might just feel touched, you know, that you've reached out to them. So Shelfari is something that is very underutilized, and you can get a lot of momentum from it. The next strategy is to go on Facebook groups. So there's different groups like the ones I've put here where they're just authors that'll go through and post their books when they have free days, and the other authors, if they feel so inclined, if they think the book sounds good, then they'll go through and download the books and leave reviews. Now, I would never...
All right, that's pretty good. It's about how to get reviews for your published book, you know. So I'm gonna have that clip and people like that on the show, because a lot of authors, including myself, we want reviews for our books, and we want to try to find ways to get honest reviews without paying for them. Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It is 7:26 straight up Chicago time. And once again, I want to thank my guest, Yvette W. Jones, and her book, My Second Wind. Go pick up that book, buy that book, and tell your friends and family to check that book out. She's gone through a lot in her life, like so many others who have been on this show, and they are just sharing their experiences with you. Okay, we are just about left on the show, so I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank everybody for downloading. I want to thank everybody for making my short story on Amazon.com number one. And if you don't know the name of the short story, it's called Mary Rest in Peace, subtitle Caught Reading. It was fun to write. A little emotional, but it was fun. And just about everything I write is great. Maybe because I'm the writer, right? Okay, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we are going to just play it on out, and don't give up. Don't ever give up. If it's something you love, something you want to do, you do it. Don't let anybody try to stop you. If they do, try to get bad people, people who mean you no harm, people who do not support you, get those people out of your life, because they'll just make things a lot worse for you. Keep doing what you're doing. If you love to write, write. Don't let nobody stop you. If you're a writer, just write. It'll come. It will come. And stay positive. Always stay positive. I've talked to people on Facebook every day and other social media, and they always say, thank you, George. You gave us some great advice. I'm giving you great advice now. Do not let anyone turn you around. Do not let anybody stop you from doing what you love doing. Do not let anybody criticize you when they're not about a damn thing themselves. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to play this thing on out, and I hope you're with me tomorrow. And I hope you like that I Have a Dream speech, and I hope you just love my guest. There will be more guests tomorrow. Stay with me. I'm out of here, everybody. Thanks for being with me. I hope you tune in tomorrow, 7 o'clock p.m. to 8. All right, bye-bye, everybody. Thank you very much. Bye. Going too fast, isn't it? It's on the wrong speed.